This is Brock and Salk
from the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming everywhere at 710sports.com and the 710 Seattle app.
All right, final hour today of Brock and Salk on 710 ESPN Seattle on 710sports.com as well. Today is Wednesday. Jake Heaps is in for Brock. You should know and remember that tomorrow, Thursday, will be Hawks Live featuring our host, Dave Wyman. Every Thursday, 7 o'clock at Pearl Seafood and Oyster Bar in Bellevue for preview of this week's game against the Cardinals. There's also an in-person player interview. Hawks Live brought to you by Heritage Distilling's Batch Number 12 Vodka, Legendary Donuts, and Pearl Seafood and Oyster Bar. Always a great time. Go over to see Hawks Live tomorrow night with Dave Wyman and the Seahawks player. It's a lot of fun. All right. As I said, the phone lines will be open here for a little while because I want to go through where we're at with Earl Thomas. Brock and I spent a while on this yesterday, and it was good to get you guys involved in it. But I want to ask you a few questions and kind of set this up by playing some of what Jim Moore had to say. If you guys want to weigh in, as I said, 206-421-3776 is the number. And essentially the question is, can Pete have the culture he wants with Earl Thomas around?
Yeah.
Can Pete Carroll achieve the culture he wants to achieve with the Seahawks
right,
as long as Earl is here and in their current predicament?
I think he can. It's hard. It's uncomfortable, especially this year, but he can. He's very good at being able to separate all of this and being able to separate Earl and being able to separate his philosophy and his team and being able to look at the guys there that are in the moment and at practice and saying, okay, here we go. These are the guys that we have. I think a guy that you look at is Tedrick Thompson. I don't know how he feels about it. You know, I mean, that's a tough spot to be in.
They're finding ways to get him into the game, which is interesting. A lot of big nickel, Jake. Good. They've done a lot of big nickel.
A lot of big nickel. It's
this is a long-running joke between me and Pete because I always ask him about big nickel and he gives me grief about it. But they have run a lot of big nickel. Once they got Bradley McDougal and they had Cam and Earl, I was like, well, why wouldn't you do big nickel?
He's able to play nickel. He's played special. He's played the big nickel.
Yes.
And I gave that one to him.
Thank you, Coach. We appreciate it. Thank you for giving it to me.
That's
needed
awesome.
It. Yeah. All right. So challenging for Tedrick Thompson.
Right. So challenging for him. But ultimately, he understands where he is. And everybody in the NFL, okay, when I was there, when Brock's there, you know your place. You know what your value is to this franchise, and you know what you have to do. Not everybody is created equal. And Earl is not created equal. And as much as people don't like it, Earl has the luxury of doing some of these things, and this franchise needs him right now. The team needs him, and they need him on Sunday to perform. And Earl's putting this team in a tough spot. But I think Pete's philosophy of practicing hard, always compete, all those things, I still think it applies. And you got a guy like Russell Wilson who approaches it the same way every day.
Yeah.
You got people in that locker room, Frank Clark. You know, you got guys that approach it that way and are going to continue.
The problem ultimately I think Pete's handling this in a very Pete Carroll way.
Yeah.
And as much as all of us demand a pound of flesh, as much as we can sit here and be mad because it's easy to be mad, as much as we look at it and say Earl Thomas is committing a crime against the team and needs to be punished, what Pete is answering, and I said this yesterday, is I know Earl's committing a crime against the team.
Yeah.
I just think it's a misdemeanor, not a felony. And that's the way Pete's going to play this because that allows him to get what he wants out of Earl Thomas.
Correct.
Bill Belichick went the other way in the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Belichick had something happen with Malcolm Butler.
Right.
And he took his star player and benched him for the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Fans, by the way, are furious at that, too, because they had an opportunity to win another Super Bowl, and it didn't happen because Bill Belichick decided to dole out a punishment worthy of a felony, not a misdemeanor. And in this case, Pete is saying, yeah, I don't care.
Yeah.
You think this is a felony crime, my consequence, his word, is it sounds like more of a misdemeanor, more of a fine. And that may be okay for Pete Carroll. It's not okay for everybody, and maybe it's okay for you, 206-421-3776. But as we've been talking about, I can't help but coming back to this sound here, Jake, as you mentioned how everybody in that locker room knows where they are. This was Tanner Farmer. Do you know who Tanner Farmer is? You may or may not. It's okay if you don't.
No, I don't.
He is a random guard who plays for the University of Nebraska, who for whatever reason went on this rant last week.
I remember.
You're always going to have some guys on a team that resist buying in. This coaching staff has set a precedence of what they want, what they expect, and we have a good group of guys that are leading the way, setting the standards, but you always have a few guys that aren't quite buying in. And that can be the difference between winning and losing games by a few points. It can be the difference between winning by 30 points or losing by 20 points. You'd be surprised how big of a difference a few guys not buying in can take on a team. So he's pretty much saying that any guys that aren't buying in, either buy in or move out for the guy who's going to buy in. As leaders, we have to step in and make sure we need to hold these guys responsible.
So that was his comment, and it goes on from there. It's a great impassioned speech, and you can't help but love it.
Yeah.
Here, I just wanted to ask. Now, there's a lot of other things that that need to be taken into account here, but this is a very simple way of looking at it.
Mm-hmm.
Since Earl Thomas skipped practice, was allowed to play in the game, what is the Seahawks record? They're 1-0.
They're 1-0.
They won despite whatever was going on with Earl Thomas.
And Earl played well.
Since he went on his rant in Nebraska and talked about buy-in and gave everyone around the country something that they could believe in, what is Nebraska's record? It's not just that they're 0-1.
Yeah.
It's that they got beat 56-10 at home.
Yikes.
I'm not saying that Tanner Farmer is wrong and that Earl Thomas and Pete Carroll are right. I'm saying that Pete's view is, I want to win football games. Nebraska's 0-3.
Yeah.
The Seahawks are 1-2, and the only reason they won that game, part of the reason they won that game, is because Earl Thomas had two picks in it. Pete is willing to look at the game a little bit differently in order to do what he wants to do, which is win. Will it have some negative effects long-term on the way that the team chemistry is? Yes, I think it will.
You think it will?
I do. I think long-term it is problematic to allow a guy not to practice, just as it was with Marshawn and Michael Bennett and other players before him. But
it's a slippery slope.
Ultimately, sure. Pete is not as concerned with that as he is with what's happening out on the field, and he needs Earl Thomas out there. 206-421-3776. Can Pete Carroll have the culture he truly wants with this whole Earl situation playing out? Grab Dennis, who's in Spokane, and you're up first today with me and Jake Eaps. Good morning, Dennis.
Good morning, Dennis.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Fantastic.
Oh, good. Hey, I wanted to get your reaction to a short paragraph in Sports Illustrated.
Okay.
They were talking about the possibility of trading Earl Thomas to the Steelers for Le'Veon Bell. They said that Le'Veon Bell doesn't want to be there, and he'd like to get out. The salaries are about the same. What do you guys think about that?
Dennis, honestly, I don't see it happening. There's no way that this happens. And everybody's talking about Earl. Le'Veon has handled this worse than Earl, truthfully. And, his own teammates have come out. You talk about Seattle, all the guys in that locker room, pay Earl. They love Earl. And with Le'Veon, you've got his teammates calling him out and telling him he needs to come back, and he's being selfish, and he's hurting the team and all those things. And so I just think you trade one bad situation for another, and it's hard for me because Le'Veon Bell is a stud, and right. As an offensive player and as a quarterback.
But as you watch, awesome. What's his name, James Conner, go and run the clock out and win for Pittsburgh, you just can't help but say, come on, man, you're a running back.
Yeah.
The league is not going to value your position at that level because it's ultimately replaceable by somebody else. And quite frankly, what Earl is finding out is safeties, for whatever reason, and I disagree with the league on this, the league views safeties as replaceable.
Yeah. And I think that's the big key.
I think they're wrong. Honestly, I think the league is wrong on this. I think elite safety can do as much, at least elite safety play can do as much for your team as nearly any other position on it.
Yeah.
And almost every team that wins Super Bowls has an elite safety.
Look at Earl. I mean, what Earl does, he is the best safety in the NFL, and especially for the Seahawks scheme. No one in the NFL can play it better than Earl.
Meaning go sideline to sideline.
Sideline to sideline. Yeah, being instinctive. He's special.
He didn't look so special in the play where Ezekiel Elliott stepped out of bounds. He didn't. I mean, honestly,
he got bailed out there. Yeah.
He got bailed out by a really, really lucky break. 206-421-3776. You can't help but wonder, though, would that have happened if he'd been at practice that week on those days? I mean, who knows? Chris is in Yakima. Chris, good morning.
Good morning, guys. My take on this is I think it's a felony. The biggest reason why I'm thinking so is why he's sitting there pouting on the sidelines, not being part of practice, some of these other rookies and some of the other guys he haven't played around just aren't going to know what he's doing on the field at any time, so they're not going to know when maybe he needs to be bailed out.
Yeah.
There's no doubt. I mean, you'd rather have a guy practice rather than not practice, but Chris, does that mean you wouldn't play him on the weekends?
I would play him, but I'd be having your D coordinator reviewing the film after the game and looking out and saying, okay, hey, him missing all these practices.
Well, that may be happening. But Chris, that may be, I mean, all Pete said is that there would be consequences. Now, he's not telling us what those consequences are. Maybe one of them is having to sit through an extra film session with the coach. And, you know, look, Pete's just saying there's consequences.
Can you let a player not practice because he doesn't want to?
Well, there's always consequences now. You know, so there you have it.
We've all taken that to mean fines, but there could be other consequences.
I think it's important for the listeners to understand we are not sitting here advocating this. We're not sitting here saying this is okay. We're just saying that this is the situation. Mm. This is how Pete is going to handle the situation. And Earl is going to play on Sundays if he misses practice or if he doesn't. And it will come to a head at some point. If Earl doesn't play well.
But this has to be hard for you, man. It has to be hard for anybody who's played the game, even at the lowest level, anybody who's watched football, anybody who's a sports fan. It goes contrary to everything we were all taught and grow up to believe. It is as new school of philosophy as it gets.
For sure.
And I'm defending Pete because this is Pete's way.
Right.
I don't know that I could be this way.
No.
I mean, I think practice is incredibly important. I'm the one who sits here in the offseason and rants about every single player who doesn't show up for voluntary workouts because I don't want those guys on my team.
Yeah.
If you don't want to be here for voluntary workout, you're not a guy who truly wants to buy into what the program is all about. I just think Earl's situation is different because he's not wired to not show up. He's wired to come.
He is.
He just wants to get paid, and he thinks this is the best negotiating tactic. I just don't know whether it really is or not.
It isn't.
Justin. Justin's in Puyallup. Good morning, Justin. You're on with me and Jake Eames.
What's up, gentlemen? How are you guys?
Great, Justin. You?
Oh, I'm digging a big hole. So I just want to say Pete is an old guy. He has seen temper tantrums. He's seen so much. He knows how to deal with Earl. Earl's emotional. And any given day, he's going to say anything when you put the mic in front of him. So we can't get caught up on what he's saying or what he's not doing. Every day, he's going to decide that day what he's going to do. Yeah, he's going to play. He's calling the other Tedrick Thompson when he wasn't going to practice. He was still involved in helping our young players. He is a team player. And whatever Pete decides to do, I'm behind him.
Justin, what kind of hole are you digging?
I'm trying to find a water line.
You're trying to find a water line? It could be anywhere under there.
Yeah, well, they put down blue marks, so I have like an educated guess on where it's at. But, yeah, it's like a $20 bill and the best of luck.
Well, good luck, Justin. I hope you find it, man. I hope you find it. I think it's hard to say Earl's a team player when it's this situation. But the thing is that outside of him practicing, he is helping guys, and he is a guy that's approachable, and that's why everybody loves him. That's why people are advocating for him to get paid, and there really isn't a huge issue on the team with Earl. They understand it's Earl's situation, and this is how Earl's going to handle it, but all they care about at the end of the day is that on Sunday he comes and shows up and plays well. That's what they care about. In the NFL, it doesn't matter who your personality is and all that stuff. That's why the articles about Russell and how he is, I mean, so ridiculous. All that matters is how you play. That's really what matters to people, and especially these guys.
But the opposite argument from that, though, is that may be the only thing that they think matters, but that doesn't mean that they act, that they don't pick up on the way that other, you know, especially leaders and veterans act.
I agree.
You're right. There's probably not another player mad that Earl Thomas isn't practicing. The concern here is more what happens for the next guy and the guy after. Well, if this guy's not practicing, I'm not practicing.
Right.
If this guy takes his full 3 days of paternity leave, I'm going to take my full 3 days of paternity
leave.
But
what is Earl?
If this guy's
going
to ask out because he got a little bruise on his foot, then I'm going to ask out because I got. If he's not putting in full effort, why should I put in full effort? I mean,
right.
It just sort of leads to more problems down the road, is the argument.
I agree, but also my comeback to that is, what is Earl gaining right now? What does he gain by doing this? What does he gain? He's not gaining a contract right now. I mean, we'll see.
In his belief, he is not gaining safety. He's gaining safety. I mean, look, the biggest concern Earl has is that he is going to get injured before he gets long-term security with another contract.
I agree.
Right? And yeah. So his point of view would be, well, then I'm going to do the bare minimum. I'm going to play in the games because that's my job, but I'm not going to do anything else that risks my body until somebody shows me long-term contract happiness. I mean, I think that that's unfair to the team because ultimately he signed this last deal with the idea of that in mind.
Right.
But that's his view on it. The thing is, the Seahawks can always franchise him for next year. Are we going to go through a year and a half of this, 2 years of this? That seems hard to imagine.
We'll see.
Greg's in Ballard. Good morning, Greg.
Well, yeah, that's that was a little bit of my point you guys just were talking about right then is that, you know, how does this set the example for the other players, the younger guys that are stepping up? I mean, it doesn't make sense in the long term to do this. You know, Pete should not do this. I mean, I know Earl's a great player, but like you guys said, I mean, you're going to put up with this for so long, and how does that reflect also on the way the fans think about Pete and his contract coming up? You know, he's going to be through after this year. He could lose his job over this whole thing.
Yeah.
You know, we might not get anything for Earl. That would be a disgrace.
Well, they could, as I said, they could always franchise him for any of the next few years. So, I mean, they still hold some cards.
True. That is true. But, like, I wouldn't want to put up with that stress. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but if I was a coach, I sure wouldn't.
Well, which is more important, winning games or enforcing contracts?
Well, I mean, I think they're both important.
And that's where the interesting part of the conversation. I appreciate the phone call, man. And Greg, yeah. I think you make some really good points.
Yeah, thanks, Greg.
It just, you know, Pete's looking at this and trying to have his cake and eat it too.
Yeah, he is.
He's trying to do what no one else has ever done, right? I mean, everyone always says, you either got to be strong or you're going to give in.
Yeah.
And Pete's saying, well, I'm going to do something in between.
Yeah. We were sitting here, like I said, pay him, trade him, right? Those are the only things that you can do in this situation. You got to get the situation resolved. And Pete's saying, nah, I'm going to let this ride.
I don't care what you guys think I need to do. Yeah. I'm going to do it the way I want to do it. Let's grab John, who's in Tacoma. What's up at T-Town, John?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
How are you?
Hey, man.
Good. So if you look at it like a business aspect where you have someone that's making X amount of dollars for the company, meaning more than half of what everybody else is doing, he's going to have a different set of rules. It's the same thing with football, where if you're taking a first-string quarterback and the third-string quarterback, they're not going to be as accountable for certain things, meaning what and when they have to be wherever. So I think the aspect of that basically says that as long as they're winning and he's being successful, they're not going to change anything.
I mean, that certainly seems to be the way Pete's going to play it.
There's no question. And that's the part where I was trying to make a point of everyone in that organization, those players, they know where they stand. And Earl knows where he stands, and he knows that.
So you've been in this locker room.
Yeah.
How can you come up with an example of this? Like, how do you see one player understand his place in life versus somebody else being treated completely different? Is there anything you can share that kind of goes along those lines, even if it's not, maybe it's from your time with the Jets?
Yeah.
Or in college. I mean, just give me an example of what it's like to know your place versus see, you know, some special treatment given.
Yeah, I'll give you two examples. One, when I was with the Jets, we had, again, I won't say who, but we had some players. We had a workout in OTAs, and it was a mandatory workout for us. You know, not mandatory, but, hey, you need to be here. We had four guys no-show.
Of the 90?
Of the 90. We had four guys no-show. Two of them were guys that were, one was a draft pick that was a pretty high draft pick, and the other guy was a guy that recently got a sizable contract.
Okay.
The other two guys was a late-round draft pick and an undrafted player.
Okay. What were the results?
The two that I mentioned earlier stayed on. Nothing happened. The other two guys cut the next day.
Okay. And what was the reaction?
Hey, this is the way it goes.
Right.
You know,
they should have known better.
They should have known better. Those two guys that were in that lower position know better, or at least they should. They don't have the wiggle room to miss a workout or to show up late or to do things not perfectly, because that's the way the NFL works. If you don't want to do it, great. If we're invested in you, We're going to put up with that stuff, and we're going to try and hope that you don't continue to do that.
Yeah.
But we're going to put up with it. And like for me at my time with the Seahawks, and that's why this is so hard for me. That's why it's so hard for Brock, is because I was one of those guys that tried my darndest to get there, be the first guy in the building, do everything the right way, show up to every workout, you know, do everything that was asked of me to do, work my butt off to have a chance to play. And now you got guys that are treated differently, and they get more chances than you, and things like that, because the organization is more invested.
Yeah, because they're better, because they have more talent.
Exactly.
Because ultimately they have a higher upside than the try-hard guy who's doing everything right. And when I look at this, the issue is not with how it affects you, the try-hard guy. The issue is not necessarily with how it affects the other stars, because stars, I think, are always going to try to be treated that way.
Yeah.
The question is about the group in the middle. How does this affect the would-be stars?
Mm.
How does this affect that
like
group in the middle, the Frank Clarks of the world? And I think that's the question that we'll address here in just a second. Brock and Salk with Jay Keefe, 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Brock and Salk.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming through the 710 Sports app and on 710sports.com.
Phone lines buzzing at 206-421-3776. Jake Heaps is in. This was definitely the one thing I found myself asked most about yesterday as I was out and about, is just Earl. And it's just, what do you do if you're Pete Carroll? Because I think it's something we all... it's something we can all relate to. We can all put ourselves in Pete's shoes and say, how do I handle somebody that is not acting, that is in a way helpful to the team?
Right.
And yet is playing in a way that is almost better than helpful, is almost
necessary
for the team to win. How much am I willing to sacrifice of my beliefs in order to try to win some football games here?
Right. And also, you got to look at it, is if they had more depth, if they had a guy that they felt that could serviceably replace Earl, I think maybe you see a move here. But I don't think they look at the next guy, and this is not a shot to Tedrick, but I don't think they look at it and go, okay, we are comfortable not playing Earl and letting Tedrick play and risking that and risking losing games, knowing that we have a future Hall of Fame safety on the sidelines. I think that's what it kind of comes down to.
So the culture just isn't that important.
I think he's still trying to maintain that culture. I think he's still trying to maintain the culture, and it's a fascinating argument on whether he can continue it by letting Earl play or not.
I think what Pete would say there is, I'm maintaining my culture. My culture is built on compete every day and win forever.
Right.
I mean, honestly, I think that's what Pete would say. He's like, that may not be the culture you like and you want, and your culture may be all about discipline, and your culture may be all about the message that you send to the next generation.
Right.
My culture is built on win forever. It's the name of my book, and that's what I'm trying to do here. And in order to do it, I got to put the best team out there that wins every week. Whether Earl practiced or not, he gives me a better chance to win. Sorry.
Yeah.
There'll be a consequence. He'll pay a fine, whatever it is. But ultimately, I'm going to do what is adherent to my own philosophy. Now, that doesn't mean it won't have some level of consequences as well.
Right.
And I don't necessarily think it's always going to be with, as you mentioned, the bottom of the roster guys who are try hard, nor always with the guys who are at the top. It's the guys who are in between, the becoming stars group. And that in this class, that's probably Frank Clark more than anybody else.
Yeah.
How is a Frank Clark? How is a Jaron Reed? There's probably a few other names in there.
Well, you look at Bradley McDougal. I mean, Bradley has played unbelievably. And if he continues to play like this, I mean, he's probably going to want to try and restructure his deal. And
he just signed it this offseason, a 3-year deal.
I know that.
With 2 years out, he's going to want to restructure.
I'm not saying 2 years out, but if he can continue to put a body of work together, he might want to.
206-421-3776. Let's see. Kendall in Santa Monica has been hanging on. Good morning, Kendall.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
What's up, dude?
Yeah, I was, you know, as I was thinking about the practice thing, I was reminded by Allen Iverson's famous practice rant. And, you know, the reason he was, you know, basically joking, like, we're talking about practice, is because he's a Hall of Fame player who left his heart on the court every time. And I think at the end of the day, with Hall of Fame players, especially a Hall of Fame player who plays as hard as Earl, I'm not as worried about him not practicing just because the talent level is so high. And if it were a player who's less skilled, I think the Hawks would handle it differently, and I think my reaction personally would be different. But just because he's so good, and you see what he's doing, he's the best-rated safety by PFF. Actually, he and Bradley McDougal are the two best.
So Kendall, where do you draw the line? Kendall, where do you draw the line?
I draw the line if the conduct truly becomes detrimental.
Oh, I don't mean on what conduct. I mean on what player.
Oh, on what player?
Yeah, I mean, I would say, okay, so for Earl Thomas, you're willing to do this. Are you willing to do it for Chris Carson?
No.
Are you willing to do it for Frank Clark?
No. So that's the line.
So is Earl the only guy in the team? You're obviously for Russell, for Earl. Are you willing to do it for Doug Baldwin?
I'd be willing to do it for Doug Baldwin.
Bobby Wagner?
I think. If you're going at that.
KJ Wright? Is that just how we have to do it? Shaquille Griffin?
No.
Really? Like, how are you going to play without Shaquille Griffin?
Right. He's pretty important.
He's not a Hall of Fame level talent yet.
Yeah, right? But he's your best cornerback.
He's the best cornerback, but I think the fall off between him and his replacement is much less than the fall off between Earl and Earl.
Oh, I don't know. I might debate that with you, but yeah, good point.
I get your point. I don't agree with you in terms of Shaquille. I think it's a big drop off.
Yeah, I do too.
But I get your point there, and that's why this is such a unique argument. This is such a unique situation here. I mean, Earl is pushing the envelope, and they're continuing to let him play, and they're going to, and it's so unique.
We're talking about practice, man.
And plus we've got our Kendall hater hitting up the old text machine.
But the unique thing, too, is he references Allen Iverson. Earl Thomas is not in that same category because there's a soundbite there after the game where he talks about practice and how important practice is.
I know. He can't help himself when he's talking about practice. Here, Kyle, play me.
At the end of the day, man, I had a great time with the guys that I've been practicing with. Well, I haven't been practicing, but the guys I have been around, it was just fun out there.
So fun. Well, I haven't been practicing.
I just love playing with the guys that I'm practicing. I mean, not practicing, but like, you know, pretending to practice with. Crazy. I love all this. He did. He said practice is important.
Practice made him who he is, and he still...
Practice is a big deal. Practice is a big deal. In my younger days, like, it made me who I am. I always practice hard, but I understand now, like, especially I'm going to be careful with myself.
Right, and it made him who he is, and playing with Earl, he loves practice. He loves flying around. He wants to practice. I know Earl. He wants to practice.
Earl, we heard that story about the sunflower seeds some of the defensive players were chewing seeds at practice and Earl like flipped out on them.
He did.
It's like this is practice and this is serious.
Correct. And that's the cool thing about Earl, and that's why that compete forever and always compete and all those things. That's why not having Earl out there is a detriment to the team because he brings that energy and that focus to practice every day. Like for me, he would go up against me in practice, and I would fool him one time.
Per
off season.
Okay.
It happened multiple times, and he would come to me and be like, man, that was awesome. Thank you. Thank you for getting me better. And I'd be like, wow, that is so cool, you know? And so it's just such a weird situation. And, you know, and again, Earl understands that, and he's been great with the guys on the team. Mm-hmm. He's been helpful. And when he shows up on Sunday, he flies around and gives it everything he has, and that's the part where it's like when you watch him play, you get caught up in, I want to keep this guy.
Let me grab one more call. Grab Brent, who's in Yakima. Good morning, Brent. What's going on?
Good morning. Hey, I just want to say Jake is great. So the more we can get him on the show, this is cool.
Well, thanks, man. I appreciate that.
Yeah. So, no, you know, talking about Earl, I think that these young players that get real successful have a lot of money when they're young, and they may not be mature enough to actually, handle all that success correctly. They kind of get that inflated view. We're talking about a guy that wore a crown at his wedding, and so to kind of worry about what his opinion is and what his take is on his contract and how he's handling it. I don't really worry about that so much. I'm more along the lines with Pete and like Mike, what you're talking about. Play the guy, I mean, he's the best safety. He's proven it over the years.
I think I get what
you can win games with him.
Yeah, basically what you're saying is Earl's weird and you just need to find him and let him play. The problem isn't with Earl. The only real major question here is about culture. That's the only, I think, debate left. Of course, how it affects Earl long term. Earl's weird, and I don't know that that's what this is about. The real question is, how does it affect the culture of your team?
Well, I think his point is, though, is that Earl is his own unique person.
That's for sure.
And everybody gets that, and everybody gets what Earl is all about. And so that's why it doesn't.
But how many of those guys can you have? Marshawn was his own unique person, and right. Bennett was his own unique person, and Richard was his own unique person, and Earl's is, I mean, like, got, you can only have so many of those
right,
guys.
Right, they got rid of pretty much all of them, but except for Earl.
Can Frank be his own unique person? And can Jaron be his own unique person?
Yeah.
Like, where do you start to draw those lines in terms of who gets to be their own unique person?
I hear you, but I don't think, you know, Frank has been outspoken. Jaron hasn't really been as
not
much.
Not yet.
You know, not yet, but they haven't up to this point.
But Pete's point, honestly, what I think Pete would say is, I don't care about that. I don't care that it's not about Earl being unique. It's about my culture, and what I want is a philosophy of win forever. I don't care the way you want that philosophy to be. Mine is win forever. And it means that I'm not always going to handle things the way everybody expects me to.
Well, there's no question, yeah.
It wouldn't be my philosophy. I'm not wired like Pete is.
Me either.
But it is his, and those are the compromises Pete's willing to make. All right, great stuff, great conversation. Good to have Jake in here. And we'll finish this up today by answering questions, whatever questions you got. No Matt Johnson in here to steal all the questions, so you're actually going to have to answer some of the questions today, Jake. 710-710, powered by Coors Light. Any question, any subject, all together next on Brock and Salk.
We're talking about practice, man.
This is Brock and Salk. Answer the question, jerk.
Keep asking questions. Come on, I'll answer them. Come on, I'm here. I'm going to answer your questions, dang it.
Answer my question! The question, jerk!
Well, don't just stand there. Answer the question, jerk!
All right, a lot of food questions today. Maybe people are hungry. 9:45. I don't know what's going on.
It's always food questions.
It does seem to be a lot of food questions.
Maybe it's because you talked about Tungus for, like, I don't know, 45 minutes yesterday, breaking down different body parts. You were the body image show for Tungus.
I mean,
very true. That was the most Mike Salk thing you possibly could have done. Food takes and body image takes.
All put together into
one. It was beautiful.
Did you have any thoughts on Tungus? Do you have any thoughts on Tungus left over, Lydia, from yesterday?
No.
Did it make you want to go to like a...
I hit my quota.
AMPM or 7-Eleven
or something? Literally too much good stuff.
I think Tungus would be okay hanging out with Lydia. They could get along.
Who? Tungus and Lydia?
I think they could get
along.
They'd
be a good fit. He'd sort of... Like, Tungus doesn't say a lot.
Great sense of humor, though.
Does he?
Tungus had compliment bar.
I don't know. He kind of creeps me out.
Really?
I don't know about you.
Yeah, like, you,
it makes me a little uncomfortable.
I think I might have started off that way.
I don't
way,
know
but,
why.
But over time, I've really become a big fan of his. Yeah. I enjoy the way he's entirely made up of all of the items that are for sale there.
No.
I love it. But the way he approaches people in the store is just uncomfortable.
Well, some of them approach him. I mean, what's with that guy who's wearing like a full sprint car outfit? And he just shows up at AMPM looking to talk to Tungus? I think Tungus is he's like Bigfoot. He's being attacked in his own home.
Tungus had compliment bar.
His own habitat.
Oh, my gosh.
Next question.
No.
We have digressed heavily here.
Jerks.
Tungus!
Be quiet, Tungus. Not now. Not now, Tungus. What are the best and worst potato chip flavors? Now, this would be a good question for Tungus.
Tungus, yeah. He would be an expert.
What are the best and worst potato chip flavors?
Wow. Gosh.
I mean, can't we be clear? There's no bad potato chip.
Well,
potato chips are one of the highest forms of food.
Well, I agree, but they're getting some unique flavors
out there.
Yeah,
the experimental stuff.
Like,
I mean,
what? What's going
it's
on
Lay's
out there that
when
I
they
seen?
Do, they're like, oh, you guys come up with a flavor, and we're going to put it
that.
Out.
Or Doritos, right?
Like, some of the, like waffles, and yeah, there was like a waffle
some weird
flavor.
Stuff.
But they still taste good.
I don't know about that.
No?
You can't entice me to try
good.
That.
The only potato chips I'll ever pass on are ones that are spicy. Like, I don't need jalapeno potato chips or anything. No, I just don't need it. Those luau ones are like really, really spicy.
They're my favorite.
They're good. They're too spicy for me.
Favorite.
Though. But that's just on me.
Once you get to about like, you know, one bite, not too bad. Then you get going. Man, it catches
man,
up.
Man, at some end. Point, somebody in this building did a deal with Tim's Cascade potato chips, right? And we had cartons. I mean, like boxes and boxes and boxes of bags of bags of bags of the dill pickle Tim's.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. They're so good. Somebody needs to hook that up again. You need lots of Tim's.
Temptation.
All right, on the other side of it, jerks, what is the worst dairy product?
The worst dairy product?
So what would be a dairy? So, obviously, you've got milk.
Cottage cheese?
Cottage cheese.
That.
To me,
it's that.
It's that.
Yes. What else is out there? What else would even be up for that? Sour cream. I love sour cream.
Yogurt.
How do you feel about this Greek yogurt thing? It's like kind of the rage. You're out. Kyle's out on Greek yogurt.
My wife makes it for the boys. They eat it every night. She makes it from scratch.
My kids love it. It's only use it sometimes in place of sour cream because it's like better for you. But in terms of just eating it, I don't like it.
It smells funny. You walk into a room, you're like, oh, someone's eating Greek yogurt.
Yeah,
it's a little
different.
My son
Jackson loves
it. An hour away from
kids
being
it. He's all about it.
Yeah.
I've never eaten curds and whey, but that doesn't sound too enticing to me.
Cheese curds are good. Whey is just whey protein.
Eating her curds and whey, I don't know.
Curds are cheese curds, right? You ever have the cheese curds down at Beecher's?
Oh, yeah.
They're good. They kind of squeak in your mouth a little bit. They're good.
You want to talk squeaky cheese, you got to go to the Tillamook Cheese Factory for the squeaky cheese.
Done that, as a matter of fact. It was great. We did that on the way back from Oregon a couple
years
ago.
Incredible. You just go in circles around the buffet line of this entire enormous tub of cheese that you just keep getting it over and over.
You're not supposed to. You're only supposed to have one.
I just keep going over and over.
You're not supposed to do
that.
They
had to kick out. To kick Audi out of there.
What's the best?
Get out of here.
What's the best dairy product?
Ice cream? Best dairy? Yeah. It's got to be ice cream.
I would assume. Right? Like, what else would it be?
Oh. To me, it's ice cream.
I mean, cheese is up there. It's got to be up there.
It's true.
Cheese is always good.
Cheese versus ice cream is a battle royale, man.
That's the right question.
That is it. What?
Would you rather live without cheese or without ice cream? You'd probably rather live without ice cream.
I think you're right. But ice cream at its peak is better than cheese.
That.
Yeah, you're right. But ice cream at its peak is better than cheese.
For sure.
Yeah.
But you're right.
You're eating hamburgers for your
But what's your
rest
favorite
of your
flavor of ice cream? I think this will be telling.
Mint chocolate chip. I mean, given all of the different ice creams out there, probably mint chocolate chip more.
Fungus!
Probably
cookies and cream right behind it.
Ooh, yeah. Cookies and cream.
It's always
so
a good,
good
one.
Those two. That's a battle all the time.
I'm all over cookie dough. Love it.
You know what you never hear from anymore? Rocky Road.
That's not good. It's,
when you're
it's
growing up,
overrated.
That's like a signature at every little birthday party. Right. And now, who gets Rocky Road?
I think people understood that it's kind of overrated these days.
Yeah.
You know? I don't know.
Mint chip versus cookies and cream is like a raging battle in my soul every time I get to an ice cream shop. Like, how do I decide? They're both so good. Let's see. Who's the best player on the Huskies right now?
The best player?
Yeah.
Oh, man, that's a good question there. I mean, I think you obviously have to point to Myles Gaskin. I think he's the best player on that team. I think you can make a strong
Gotta
argument.
Make a case for, like, Byron Murphy or Taylor Rapp,
yeah,
in my opinion.
Well,
Danny, I think, thinks it's Byron Murphy.
I think it might be Byron Murphy.
You think? Lydia brings a great point. I would have to say Taylor Rapp.
Oh,
changing
your tune.
Awesome. He's awesome. He's a first-round pick.
Do you look a little bit like Taylor Rapp? Do you guys, like,
no.
share a look?
No. Look at me and then look at Taylor Rapp.
I might do that.
I think you're mixing us up a little bit.
I think it's a head shape thing. They got the same shaped
head. We do kind of have the same hair a little bit.
I think there's a little. I don't mean like you'd be mistaken for each other.
Yeah.
I hadn't thought about that until now.
We don't have the same body type. I wish I had.
Have you ever been mistaken?
Shredded.
Have you ever been mistaken for Tungus? Has that ever happened?
Oh, well, I hope that never happens to me. That would be a sad, sad day.
Howdy
I don't know what I would do myself.
When Howdy and I were at the Little Red Hen the other day, guy came right up to him, thought it was Tungus. Dulce de leche ice cream getting some love on the text machine. That's good. Brownie ice cream's good.
Yeah. I'm for that. You get those thick brownies?
Yes. Yes and yes and yes. All of that.
Thanks, Pete. Yeah. Agreed. I mean, how can you say no to any of those things? Oh. Final food question, then we'll go here. Cheeseburger, cheese steak, or grilled cheese? Speaking of cheese.
I know someone that makes an excellent cheesesteak sandwich called Philly This. They're their own deal. They are going to get a food truck here soon.
Oh.
They're down in the
Philly
South Sound.
Philly cheesesteak food truck is a good idea.
Amazing.
Wow.
Amazing. Not your knockoff, the real deal. Philly This. Awesome.
I'd say this. The very, very, very best cheesesteak can compete with a cheeseburger, but in terms of consistency and cheeseburgers are hard to beat.
No, a great cheeseburger, I don't think you can top that.
And grilled cheese is a distant third.
Ooh.
Distant third.
Comfort food right there.
I'll hate on grilled cheese. I don't mind doing it. It's just okay.
Just okay?
It's just okay. It's just okay.
I don't know if I agree
I think
with
it's
you on
good.
That.
It's just okay. Hot take. Hot take on grilled cheese.
Hot take.
Tungus likes it. What can I tell you? Jake Heaps, great stuff today. Jake will be on a little bit later in the day with Bob Gross and Tom. Go to 710sports.com later today to see some of Jake's videos. Remember, he's working for 710sports.com this year as a contributor, which has been great. So you can go see his breakdown, a couple plays from the Seahawks and Huskies. Seahawks today, I believe Huskies tomorrow.
Yep.
And then Jake will be back next week. Looking forward to it.
Yeah. Thanks, everybody.
We
got to
get out of here. The hay is in the barn. See everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yes. Yes and yes and yes. All of that.
Get to the chopper!